Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to wrap up this week our focus on the theme of God's judgments. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I encourage your friends to go to our website at renewalministries.net. Programs are archived there. So that's a wonderful, good stuff, where we also take up the subject in greater detail on some of the YouTube videos that we did. You could look up Ralph Martin's videos in which he talked about prophetic words from Father Michael Scanlon, which really bring tremendous light and understanding to the battle that we're living through right now. A video that I did on a prophecy I talked about this past Monday that Ralph Martin gave in 1975 in Rome at St. Peter's on the high altar there in Rome. And then you could also, friends, dip the simplest way to access, I think, all the stuff that God has asked us to do and we want to give to you is to download the Renewal Ministries app and just put it on your phone and just start passing it around to people. If there's something you've been fed by and you think it's good, spread it. This is a good way to evangelize. Just get it going. So today what I want to do is kind of wrap it up by looking again at two passages. Most of this week I was talking about the commentary by St. Bernardine of Siena. He's talking about God's judgments. I'm not going to review them all again. I think it's really worth at least reflecting on what he said and applying it to the situation that we are living through right now. It does bring some real clear light that we are experiencing what God is permitting is a clear, in my view, a clear judgment. I think it's going to intensify. I think it's because human beings are going to double down, that we're, instead of responding and paying attention to God and turning away from sin and turning toward God, bowing down and being humble and acknowledging that we're forgetting God and putting God back into the first place, that we're creating a world that is not only just ignoring God, but it's offending God very deeply by the choices we're making, how we're redefining reality, the new story that's guiding us as nations. It's really offensive to God, and it's not good. So before I go back to Romans chapter 1, which is where I ended the program yesterday, I promised I would finish that. I do want to say also from another person who has reflected on Psalm 119 is St. Louis de Montfort. He exclaims in his fiery prayer for the apostles of the latter times, it's described, he says this. This is the exact passage from, again, Psalm 119, verse 126, that St. Bernardine of Siena was reflecting on when he gave his full teaching on understanding the judgments of God. That line is, "It's time to act, O Lord, for your laws have been rejected." That's what now de Montfort is saying here as well. He said, "It is indeed time to fulfill your promise. Your divine commandments are broken. Your gospel is thrown aside. Torrents of iniquity flood the whole earth, carrying away even your servants. The whole land is desolate. Ungodliness reigns supreme. Your sanctuary is desecrated. The abomination of desolation has even contaminated the holy place. God of justice, God of vengeance, will you let everything then go the same way? Will everything come to the same end as Sodom and Gomorrah? Will you never break your silence? Will you tolerate all of this forever?" And of course, he's praying for and he's calling for the judgments of God to come. For it's the only way radically rebellious nations and peoples and cultures will ever wake up. Friends, we can never forget that the earth is a great battlefield between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And the most important question for every human being is not other secondary and tertiary questions like, did you help fight the environmental issues of your time? Did you deal with the problem of racism in your time? Did you deal with other political concerns in your time? Those things matter and they're important. But the most important thing for every human being, did you live a life in which you acknowledge God? Did you die faithful to God? Did you die a believer? Did you give to God what belongs to God? Or did you get caught up in the spirit of the age that ignored God and said, we're going to fix the world? We're the masters of our own destiny. Plus, we know that for sure because we know there is no God. And so crafting a world and calling ourselves good, this is the thing that kind of blows my mind, is how much today, in all aggressive, bold attitude, more and more people are saying God just doesn't exist. And we're the ones who finally definitively discovered that. And we're smart, and we're trusting our own smarts, we're trusting our own creation, and these things become idols for us, and we ourselves think we're gods, and we now are crafting a whole new story about reality. And at the bottom of it, friends, it's a gigantic lie, and it will never hold, because it's defining reality apart from God, who's the ground of all reality. And deep down, it will never satisfy, because human beings will know that we made it up. And what we made up, if we made it up, guess what? It's make-believe. It's a deception. It'll never be able to grasp and create a foundation like Christianity has done, Judeo-Christianity in history. So back to Romans 1 as we wrap up this week. I left off with, I'll just begin at the beginning again of that passage, just so anybody who's tuned in today and getting a chance to hear it can hear it. This is verse 18, chapter 1 of Romans. St. Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth." So what does he describe as ungodliness and wickedness? Here, the fundamental thing is to suppress the truth. We have a responsibility before God, and there's going to be no way of escaping it. Creating our own truth is a way of suppressing the truth. We're living at a time when people are constantly talking about my truth. This is my reality. My experience is my truth. And whatever my truth is, that's what truth is. It's a way of suppressing the truth. And what is that an expression of? Ungodliness and wickedness. He then goes on, "For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and his deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made." You don't even need someone to preach the gospel to you to know. Every human being knows. Every nation, every people that's ever existed has had some sense of the reality, a spiritual sense of the reality of God, of a creator, of his power in some way. It's been perceived. Paul says, because of this, they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks, but they became futile in their thinking and their senseless minds were darkened. What are we seeing? Friends, when you watch the news, when you scratch your head and say, what is going on? I mean, how much more, you know, how much further are we going to go in losing hold of reality? We don't even know what a human being is anymore. We don't know what a man is. We don't know what a woman is. We don't know what a family is. We don't know what human sexuality is for. We don't know what politics is all about. We don't know why we're here. We don't, just what we're seeing. Let me put it this way. What we're seeing there, friends, you can't miss this. Even though the culture calls it an advance and celebrates it and acts as if it's like, We're the smartest people that's ever been on the planet, that have ever been on the planet. And look what we've discovered. We're the wisest. We're the most loving. We're the most compassionate. This is the truth. It's a fundamental lie. What is it? It's an expression of the emptiness of a futile way of thinking, and it's a darkened mind. It's, as Paul says, your senseless minds become darkened. Why? Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for immortal images resembling mortal man, birds, beasts, animals, reptiles. Basically, it's talking about idolatry. The great sin here is the denial of God. It's pride. Refusal to give to God what belongs to God. This is at the heart of what it means to be a creature. Of course, what people are running from and what they're turning from is we don't like being creature. We don't like not being God. We don't like having to obey commands. We don't like the fact that God designed reality, and I'm part of that design, and I'm not the designer. That's the temptation that goes all the way back to the garden. I want to be God. And so we do claim that we're wise. Just because our technology keeps us dazzled, you know, and somehow we're so sophisticated. Look at how much knowledge is being multiplied every day. That's our hope. Our own knowledge is our own hope. And so AI, this new creation, which again, human beings created, it could be used for good, but watch, it's not going to be used for good. Some of it will, but some of it won't. And it will be very dangerous because it's going to say, oh, it's going to create even more knowledge because our hope is in our knowledge. The more knowledge, the more hope we have for our future, the more we know we can save ourselves, we can define ourselves. This is madness. It's claiming to be wise, but here, as Paul says, it's foolishness. Why? Because it's denying the ground of all reality. And it's deciding to enthrone something even less than ourselves, that is our own creation. Because we don't like the alternative of bending the knee to God and accepting and receiving an identity from God and being subject to God's commands and God's leadership in our lives. Paul goes on, verse 24, therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Tell me that's not happening all over the culture. He says, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Why are we doing this? Why are we giving our hearts over to impurity and the dishonoring of our bodies in so many ways? Paul says it's clear because we made a decision to reject the truth about God and exchange it for a lie, and to worship the creature rather than the creator. And then he goes on in verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. This is a way of describing the judgment of God. God gives us up to what we free creatures want. He's not going to force us to love him, to worship him, to follow him, to accept reality on his terms, which is the only ground of reality, period. It's the only sane way to live. But this is how darkened human minds can be. Human minds can become darkened because our hearts are deceptive. This is another thing that the world, the modern world, rejects. Like the prophet Jeremiah said, the human heart is deeply wicked. It's evil. They deny the reality of original sin. And they say, well, the problem is outside me, not in my heart. It can't be me. It's either, you know, the problem is structures of oppression. That's the only problem in the world. Well, structures of oppression might be real, but those are the result of what's in the human heart. And the only answer is to accept Jesus' diagnosis of the heart of man. Otherwise, there's no solution to it. You either get healed and delivered and get a new heart from Jesus, or you surrender to the human heart and become its slave. It said, their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural, and men likewise gave up natural relations for women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in their own persons the due penalty for their error. So even here, this is an expression of active homosexuality here. And what he's saying is, you lose hold of the designer, that is God, then you will lose hold of the design. If you want to reject the designer, you're going to reject the design. And you're then going to become subject to your passions. But then it gets worse. Verse 28, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a base mind and to improper conduct. They were filled with all manner of wickedness and evil and covetousness and malice. They're gossips and slanderers and haters of God and insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to their parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but approve those who practice them. This is a clear expression of what's going on today in the world, in so many places. Friends, we need to take it to heart and respond with repentance and obedience to God. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.